Okay, imagine this for a second. A system, right, that could write literally any book. And not just any book, but one perfectly tailored, just for you, instantly.
Wow.
Like a novel woven from your own life's data. Or maybe a poem that captures a feeling you just couldn't find the words for. A story generated specifically for your walk this afternoon.
It's a pretty mind-bending idea.
What would that even mean for reading, writing, authors? I mean, for shared culture, you know, the way stories connect us.
It really pushes you to think, doesn't it, about generative AI and something as, well, human as literary expression. And that's exactly the core of this fascinating research paper we're diving into today.
Right, this paper from the DIS25 conference, the title is Infinity Book: Speculating Literary Expressions in the Age of Generative AI.
Exactly. And the researchers, they use this idea, this infinity book, or IB. They call it this sort of theoretical system that can generate any literary work.
Novels, poems, stories, you name it.
Right. But not as a prediction, like this will happen. It's more of a lens, a tool for critical speculation.
So using an extreme future to make us think harder about now.
Precisely. To really unpack the ethical, social, political, philosophical implications of where advanced generative AI could take creativity and, the whole literary world.
And that's our mission here today, to unpack those implications, pull out the key insights from what these researchers found. And what's cool is they didn't just sit around guessing.
No, absolutely not. They use specific methods, speculative and critical design. They ran workshops, dialogue labs, getting designers, creative writers involved.
Real people thinking about this stuff.
Yeah, getting concrete insights. And then they made it even more real, more vivid, by creating these design fictions, basically short what-if stories.
Little glimpses of possible futures.
Exactly, showing potential uses, societal impacts, and they grounded it all in philosophy, too, to give it real depth.
It's worth remembering, too, that this idea, machines writing, it isn't totally brand new.
Oh, definitely not.
You can find hints going way back. Jonathan Swift, Gulliver's Travels, that writing machine. Sir Walter Scott supposedly wished for a steam-powered novelist or something like that.
Right. And then the early computer story generators in the 60s, it leads right up to the kind of large language models we see now.
The paper even mentions inspirations like Stanislaw Lem's Electronic Bard, Roald Dahl's Automatic Grammatizator.
Yeah, fiction that was grappling with this long before it felt quite so immediate.
So there's history, but today's Gen AI makes this infinity book feel less like, pure science fiction.
And more like something we really need to think critically about right now.
Okay, so let's unpack what happened when people started thinking about this infinity book in those workshops. What were the immediate ripples, the big concerns?
Well, a major theme, maybe not surprising, was the human cost, specifically the value of labor.
Meaning writers' jobs.
Yeah, if this IB system can just generate endless content on demand, what happens to the human writer? People were really asking, does writing stop being a viable job for most people? Does it become just for pleasure or pushing artistic limits?
Which connects right into that question of what creativity even is then.
Totally. There was a real worry in the discussions that relying too much on AI could actually weaken human creative skills. Critical thinking, too.
If the machine does the heavy lifting, do we lose the ability ourselves?
That was the fear. And another really striking idea was social fragmentation, increasing isolation.
How so?
Think about it. If everyone's consuming hyper-personalized stories literally made from your life, your data, what happens to shared culture?
Ah, right. The books we all read, the stories we all know, that common ground.
Exactly. If my reading is totally unique to me, yours is totally unique to you. We could lose those connections. It might deepen cultural divides.
We lose that shared language.
Yeah.
And on top of that fragmentation, they also saw
A flood of content, right? Yeah, they call it content pollution.
Yeah.
Just a massive, constant supply of AI text. It can make it really hard to tell what's true, what's fake, eroding trust.
And maybe making human writing seem expensive,
Right.
like a luxury good.
Compared to cheap AI stuff, yeah. What people are already starting to call AI slop when it's just low quality output.
But it wasn't all negative speculation, was it? There was a counter idea, too.
Interestingly, yes. Participants also imagined a kind of pushback, a back to human movement.
Like valuing human creativity more?
Potentially, yeah. More appreciation for authentic human work, live performances, readings, a real craving for human connection because of the AI flood. They even pictured things like analog backlash groups or anti-AI activists.
That's fascinating. So resistance alongside the change.
And what's also interesting is how they saw the AI's role, not just as a replacement writer. They saw positive potential too.
Like what?
Well, one idea was AI as an expression formulator, something that could help you articulate feelings you can't quite grasp or explore really new sensory combinations, creating expression beyond our usual human limits.
So not just writing for you, but helping you express something. That's different.
It is. But they also flagged some big limitations. A crucial one was about embodied meaning.
Embodied meaning.
Yeah, like how can an AI truly capture deep human sensations? Pain, loss, joy. The whole messy reality of lived experience that writers draw on.
Things rooted in having a body, a life.
Exactly. As someone in a workshop apparently said, you know, one AI can't be more traumatized than another AI. It just lacks that physical, emotional, biological grounding.
Which leads to another really interesting question they explored. Could AI eventually create without us telling it to, without a direct prompt?
Right. Could it move beyond being just a tool? Some scenarios pictured AI systems kind of autonomously seeking out data, observing the environment, generating things more like a background process.
More like a relation to the world, not just waiting for instructions.
Yeah, moving from passive tool to maybe a more active observer and interpreter.
Okay, this is where it gets really vivid. To make all these ideas concrete, the researchers created those 12 design fictions, these short what-if stories. Let's touch on a few that really stood out.
Yeah, they cover a lot of ground. A lot of focus on that personalization angle, using your data. Like picture an AI assistant, Mark, they called it, that subtly records parts of your day.
Kind of creepy.
A little.
Yeah.
But its goal is to write a book specifically for your jogging route, adapting the story to what you see and hear as you run.
Wow. Or what about that real-time detective novel through AR glasses?
Oh, yeah. That one was wild. Pulling data live from your surroundings, your social media, maybe even other people nearby using the same system.
Blurring fact and fiction.
To make you the protagonist. Solving a mystery where the world around you is literally the set and the evidence.
And then the auto-fiction generator, turning your boring Tuesday into some kind of dramatic narrative.
Exactly. Making coffee becomes foreshadowing, commute is rising action, all personalized, drawing subtle connections across your days from your data feed.
It also gets into the author-AI relationship in some pretty weird ways.
Definitely. Like scenarios where AI means authors don't even need to live the experiences they write about. The AI can just simulate it.
Or the flip side, authors having to go through intense training hooked up to monitors.
Yeah. Physical, psychological monitoring. Just to fine-tune the AI models trained on their work. Trying to capture that human authenticity in the machine.
Mm-hmm.
Super strange.
And interacting with author bots, AI avatars of dead writers churning out sequels on demand.
Right. Discussing creative choices with a machine trained on, say, Hemingway's entire output. Blurring the lines between the writer and the code.
Some scenarios went even further, didn't they? Into pretty disturbing territory.
Oh, absolutely. Think about an AI monitoring your body and mind through implants. Not to help you, but just giving you bizarre commands. Just to gather data. Data on human sensations, social reactions. All for some strange AI literary project. Completely bypassing consent in a way.
Yikes. Or the horror story one. Tailored to your deepest fears using smart home data. Delivered by eco-terrorist swamp creatures.
Yeah, that one was memorable. Forcing you to calculate your carbon footprint as part of the horror. It really pushes boundaries on agency, privacy, manipulation.
Makes you really uncomfortable thinking about it.
And they also showed broader societal shifts, like traditional publishing declining. Authors maybe moving to platforms like Twitch to make a living.
Bookstores just becoming showrooms for digital samples you generate there.
That kind of thing. Really painting a picture of systemic change.
Okay, so after exploring all this through workshops and these fictions, what are the big takeaways? The researchers boiled it down to three strong concepts, right? Key ideas to help us think about this.
That's right. Three core ideas they think are critical for understanding and maybe even designing these kinds of systems in the future. The first is authenticity.
Which sounds simple, but wasn't.
Not at all. It's really complex. They talk about two kinds. There's expressive authenticity. Like, does this work feel like a genuine expression? Does it have a real voice, real feeling behind it?
Okay. And the other?
Nominal authenticity. Which is more about its origin, is it verifiably from who or what it claims to be from? Where did it actually come from?
This makes me think of Walter Benjamin, the aura of the original artwork.
Exactly. that unique presence of an original tied to its history and place. AI challenges that because its output can be copied infinitely. It lacks that physical, unique history.
But AI can mimic authenticity, right? Maybe even create a new kind of aura around the machine or the model.
It can certainly try. It can mimic a style, a voice.
Yeah.
But does it have that grounding in the human embodied experience? That's the question. The whole AI slop phenomenon kind of highlights the tension. It forces you to ask, why do we value authenticity, especially human authenticity, art and writing? What's the core value there?
Good question. Okay, what's the second concept?
The second is creative agency. This hits right at the core. Who is the author now in the age of Gen AI?
Feels like those old death of the author debates are suddenly very relevant again. Barthes, Foucault.
Incredibly relevant. Is creativity purely human?
Mm-hmm.
There's this idea of cognitive assemblages, that thinking, cognition, isn't just in one brain. It's distributed across people, tools, algorithms, data.
So the AI's output isn't just the AI. It's the whole network. The data it trained on, the prompt I gave it, the algorithm itself.
Precisely. It's a product of that whole network. So Gen AI isn't just copying human creativity. It's changing it, enabling new hybrid ways of creating things.
But that raises huge questions. Who owns it? What's originality? What's the value of the human part in that process? What does it even mean to be a creator?
Massive questions. And that leads to the third concept, liveness.
Liveness, like live performance.
No, not just that. It's also about immediacy, interactivity. The dynamic nature of the content.
Like that AR detective novel generated in real time?
Exactly. Gen AI allows for these dynamic, interactive narratives. It really blurs the line between something happening live and something mediated.
Which sounds cool, interactively speaking.
It does. It opens up amazing new possibilities. But
yeah.
The flip side, they noted, is this trend towards hyper-personalized texts. Almost solipsistic texts existing only for you.
Meaning? We lose the shared stuff again.
Potentially. If your story is only for you, my story only for me.
We lose those common cultural artifacts, those shared experiences through stories, which could feed back into that social fragmentation we talked about earlier.
What is lost when my reading experience is totally unique, never shared?
A profound question.
So these concepts, authenticity, agency, liveness, they really push us beyond just thinking about, you know, is this AI tool useful?
Absolutely. They force a look at the deeper existential societal impacts, which is why the researchers brought in those philosophical angles. It's not just about HCI or usability anymore.
And while this paper was focused on books, on literary expression, these ideas feel much broader. Oh, definitely. Authenticity, agency, liveness.
Yeah.
These apply to any creative field Gen AI is touching. Art, music, film, design, all of it. It shows how our whole relationship with media and culture is shifting fundamentally.
It's important to note, too, the researchers acknowledged their study had limits.
Yes, they're clear about that. They didn't, for instance, include people from publishing or journalism in the workshops, which would be valuable perspectives.
And they didn't dive super deep into some huge related issues, right? Like privacy, copyright.
Or the environmental cost of training these huge AI models. All critically important areas they flag for more work, more exploration.
It's a huge unfolding picture.
Very much so. Still being charted.
So this whole deep dive into the Infinity Book, it paints a future for writing that's, well, both incredibly exciting in some ways.
Personalized stories, new interactive forms, maybe new ways to express ourselves.
Yeah, but also deeply challenging. Challenging to our basic ideas about who authors are, what creativity is, how stories connect us as a culture.
It really forces us to think critically about what we actually value in human creation and how we want to shape this relationship with AI rather than just letting it, you know, wash over us.
It leaves you with a pretty provocative final thought, I think. What does it mean for how we understand the world and even ourselves? When the stories we read are no longer windows into someone else's unique, lived, embodied experience.
Shaped by their life, their perspective.
But instead, they become infinite reflections of our own data profile.
That's quite a thought to end on, a question that feels more urgent every day.
This has been our deep dive into the speculative future of literary expression with generative AI, based on that DIS 25 research.
Yeah.
We really hope it gives you plenty to think about.